Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. My guest today is Kim Challender.
Good morning, Sherry.
And you are running for the recorder's office?
Correct.
I want to talk about what all is involved with the recorder's office, because I think people have a very narrow understanding of what you do. Let's start from the top. What do you do?
Okay. Well, you know, the recorder's office has really three functions. The first is voter registration. And there's 584,000 registered voters in Pima County-ish. You know, we're bigger than four states and the District of Columbia. We have a lot of voters in Pima County. We're a big deal.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
It's awesome. Now, with voter registration, one of the biggest things we do is we follow up with individuals all the time. I have a story of someone called the other day and asked me, their neighbor was able to go to Maine and for the summer. They forwarded their mail, but election mail doesn't get forwarded. So they didn't receive their ballot. So she's like, what can we do? So I gave her a couple different options, and I believe what they did is they called the recorder's office, got the early ballot sent to them, and then they're going to actually FedEx their ballot back so their vote can count.
To make sure it gets in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So those are a lot of the things we do with voter registration. We also do early voting.
Okay.
So early voting started on July 8th, and they're opening a bunch of early voting sites, all the satellite sites, starting Monday. So you're going to have a lot more opportunity to vote early, to go in and vote. And those early voting sites will probably have less people. So it's a little safer during
the
COVID crisis. So I suggest anyone who wants to vote and doesn't want to do it on election day and chance a big line, go down and early vote. They've got all the PPE. They've got safety measures in place. So that would be
an option. Yeah,
an option for sure.
So can't they just drop their ballot in the mail?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can drop the ballot in the mail. The suggested mail date is the 28th
of
July.
Okay.
If you mail it after that, the office may receive it, but there's a chance that they won't. So
don't take your chances.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of, you can go to the recorder's website and see all the options for early voting, and just drop it off there. Or on election day, you can drop your mail-in ballot off at any polling location. Doesn't have to be the one that you are supposed to vote at. You can drop it off at any polling location.
And you don't have to wait in line. You can just walk in and drop it and walk out.
I think they're going to have curbside.
Oh.
I know the early voting sites are going to have curbside drop off. So I believe the elections department is also. But now there's two different departments there. So.
Okay. Tell us about the two different departments.
Okay. So in Pima County, you have the Department of Elections, which is run by the Board of Supervisors, and then you have the Recorder's Office, which is run by F.N. Rodriguez, the recorder, who's an elected official.
Correct.
So the Department of Elections does the tabulation and the polling locations. That's their job.
So you don't have anything to do with that?
No.
Okay.
No. We work in conjunction, but yeah. No. And then, so that's the difference. So early voting, when you mail in your ballot, there's a process, a big process as far as signature verification, making sure, you know, opening the affidavit envelopes, separating the yellow envelope from the white envelope. There's a whole process there that happens. And then it gets the ballot, the affidavit gets moved over to the Department of Elections, where they actually touch the ballot.
So you're not counting ballots, you're just verifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, verifying the signature, you know.
And if there's a question, they will call you, because I've been called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You feel like, you know, you're going to the principal's office.
The problem ballot team is what we call them. Yeah, it's only about, it's under 2%, you know, of the ballots have, or the affidavits.
So that makes me special.
Yes, very special.
Yay.
And then the third thing that the recorder's office does before we move on to, I know elections is the exciting part, but that's also recording of and preserving of documents, mostly land transactions.
So, okay. Other than land transactions, what would you do?
Well, wills and you know, other type
people
of
people want to file.
Yeah. Actually, okay. anything that wants to be recorded, and I won't go into those stories, but.
But if it's recorded, it's public record.
It absolutely is.
Now, do the people who are recording their wills know that it's a matter of public record?
We tell them.
Okay. It's like, oh, so you want your cousin Joey to have your goldfish. That's special.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, see, in land transactions, that's if you buy or sell your home, you don't get the keys to your property until
it's recorded.
It's recorded.
Yeah. You've got my signature down there a lot.
Well, it's an important, an extremely important, critical part of the office. But it is one of those that isn't maybe as sexy, I don't know, as elections. So we kind of forget. Plus, it's something that I think people take for granted. We just do it. You know, that's part of the job. Now, I should preface that I am the assistant chief deputy at the recorder's office, but I am on mandatory leave of absence right now, unpaid, because of my running for office.
Okay. And you have to be mandatory leave of absence for what, 6 months?
It depends. It depends on how long I'm in this race. So the August primary is coming up, and I do have a primary opponent. When I win, I guess is what I should say, then I'll go on to the November election. And I also, there is an opponent in the general election. So.
Okay. I've heard stories, rumors, and I think it's just people just spewing stuff just to upset the public. I heard that if you do a mail-in ballot, that maybe your ballot would be thrown away.
That is something that you are hearing, and that is absolutely not the case at all.
You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember the story Chicken Little, when you were little, you read this book about Chicken Little? He'd run in circles screaming and shouting, "The sky is falling." Yeah. That's kind of what these stories and, you know, this propaganda that's coming out reminds me of.
There's a lot of accountability measures that are put in place, and you can actually check your ballot status on the website on recorder.pima.gov. You can check it and make sure that your vote has been turned over to the Department of Elections.
Processed
through.
So how do you do that? You plug in your name?
Yeah, it's your name, and I think you can choose the driver's license or your voter ID number. There's a couple questions you have to ask or answer, but it's pretty
simple.
And
you can follow what's going on. So if it doesn't show up, you can say, hey, it's lost in the mail.
Or you can call the recorder's office at 724-4330.
And that's for Chris.
And you always say that, poor Chris.
Poor Chris.
You can ask any of the amazing staff at the recorder's office can answer that question for sure.
They are very helpful. I had to call in because I'm an independent. I had to call and request a ballot. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I want the Democratic ballot because I want to make some selections on there. And all the departments where I know, or the categories I know I'm voting Republican, I just left them blank.
Exactly. And that's then in the general, you'll be able to vote for
whoever's on the ballot or not. I'll write them in. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Law Matters Live show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, Southern Arizona Rescue Association tells us what it takes to have the right stuff. Tune in to see if you qualify. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
With monsoon season well underway, the Tucson Fire Department would like you to keep these tips in mind on how to stay safe. Turn around, don't drown. Driving through a mere 8 inches of water can move your vehicle and cause you to be swept away. When thunder roars, head indoors. When you see that lightning flash and hear thunder, you need to drop what you're doing and head inside. When in doubt, wait it out. Save your errands, for after storms have passed through your area. Remember, Tucson Fire is here for you. Stay safe.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Kim. Kim is running for Pima County Recorder's Office.
Yes.
Have you ever run for political office before?
I have not.
Okay. It's an experience.
It's interesting. It's an interesting experience, yes.
I didn't know there were so many weeds around. You hear the stories about what's going on and holy cow.
Well, you know, this particular election in this particular election year is pretty special because the Pima County offices, we've really got a lot of people like Barbara LaWell's retiring, you know, F.N. Rodriguez is retiring, the assessor, Bill is retiring. So we've got a lot of open county seats.
Bill's retiring? Mm-hmm. Good for him.
So the assessor seat is also
open. And a lot of the people who are running have never run for office before.
That is correct, yes.
So it's been interesting for them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to talk about cybersecurity in the election process. I know you're really involved, heavily involved with cybersecurity. I mean, staying on the front line with everything. Tell us what's going on with that.
Boy, I can talk about getting in the weeds, man. I can really get in the weeds with this one. So cybersecurity has been a big issue since 2016. And the HAVA grants, there's been two grants, 2018 and 2020. And I know you're looking at me like, what's HAVA?
HAVA?
Yeah. HAVA is Help America Vote Act. And they've given grants to the down to the local level to be able to boost up your the cybersecurity measures. So it's really exciting. The other thing is the federal government considers elections as part of the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure of the nation now. So we've also gotten a lot of help there, which has been really exciting.
Yeah.
So we've been, with those grant funds, we've been updating the infrastructure. We're working with the Department of Homeland Security, the Secretary of State, and Pima County, and other outside agencies to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we have an action plan, if anything does happen, we can take care of it. There was an attempt at one point in another county that was immediately caught. So,
and when they catch it, what do they do?
Well, it was the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security.
You don't want to be caught by them.
They immediately stop access because we have a statewide database mm-hmm. that everybody feeds into. Pima County has their own database, but we feed up to that database, and that was immediately the connection was broke and the investigation starts. And
so if you try to do this and you get caught, what happens to you? Do you go to jail for a long, long time?
Long time. Yes. So what we have in place, though, is we've upgraded not just the cybersecurity, but the physical security of the building. There's been penetration testing. They're trying to...
They hire people to try to break in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your job.
Yep. And, you know, there's internal and external reviews, constant monitoring, pushing out updates all the time and patches. So a lot going on the cybersecurity front to make sure that your vote's protected.
And it's constant training, too.
It is. That's the biggest thing. You know, that's phishing, the email phishing, all right. those measures have to be in place. And the training of the staff is a big part of it. That's the biggest security threat is. And so you just have to make sure your staff
knows what they're doing.
Very well. And reminded all the time. And then accountability metrics put in place to... Yeah.
There's a lot of phishing going on right now, too, with everybody, with the COVID thing. And where I work, where I'm constantly getting emails from the powers that be saying, hey, don't open these emails because they're just, you know, trying to get our information and use it in the wrong way.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm glad you're on top of that because that, you know, that makes me feel better. The sky is not falling. So let's talk about the primary in August.
All right. It's coming up. It's less than 2 weeks away. August 4th is election day. Again, the early voting sites are open.
And if they want to know where these voting sites are, they can go to the recorder's office website and just, you know, check it out, see what's close to you.
Absolutely. There's it's recorder.pima.gov. I'll keep saying it over and over again. And the main page has a button that says primary election. Just click on that and all the information will be right there for you.
Now, I looked at it yesterday and it's really easy to navigate. It's so user-friendly. I was really happy to see that. And I should have written down all these addresses, but just go to your website and check it out. And I'm sure there's going to be a place close to where you live if you're afraid to drop it in the mail.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool. Okay, what do we need to know about the primary? Are there any special dates other than that I'm taking the day off because I'm watching the news? This election is going to be interesting from local level all the way to the top.
Yes, yes. But remember that there will not be a presidential candidate on this ballot.
I can't write somebody in?
And you don't want to. That is primary. We had the presidential preference election in March, and that's what that was for. We get a lot of calls about, why isn't there a presidential option on here? Well, it's not the right
election. It's not
the
right time. Yeah.
yeah. Basically, the primary, what you're doing is you're picking the Democrat or Republican, whatever party you're in, or Green, or Libertarians have their own separate election. But the
What do you mean they have their separate election?
They don't participate in a ballot election. They do more of a caucus type election. Yeah.
How effective is that?
You'd have to ask them. They don't have to share that with us, do they?
I don't see where that, okay. All right.
Well, that's what a lot of places around the country do. You know, that's how they determine who's going to be on the November ballot. And
no, everybody knows I'm from Chicago, and there's a park called Bug House Square, and that's where the politicians would go, stand on their soapbox, and talk about what their plans were for you for the future. And everybody would go to Bug House Square. And now we have radio. So we're doing it differently.
So the only other thing is, and I think I said this once before, but make sure your ballots... If you're going to mail your ballot, your early ballot in, make sure you have it in the mail by the 28th.
Of July.
Yes.
Otherwise, it won't count.
Well, could possibly. Then you're just throwing the dice, you know.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not swearing. I just want everybody to know I didn't swear.
No.
So, okay, we can't vote for the president in August, but we are voting for some really, really important positions that are open.
Exactly. And election day, the other thing is that election day is from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. on August 4th.
So. Okay. And they're going to have poll workers. Do they need poll workers?
They do. And I've been putting that on my Facebook page and putting, I think, on my website also, that if you want to be a poll worker, give the Department of Elections a call.
Yeah, not you.
No. At 724-6830 is the phone number for the Department of Elections.
You must call that a lot. You just out of the top of your head. Here, this call's for you. So that's okay. Okay. So the polls open at 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. When can they start telling people who won or, you know, what the results are? Is there a time frame?
Of course, we have the Arizona Revised Statutes. 16 is what we have to go by. Those are the laws that dictate. So there's two things. There's 8 p.m. or when the last polling location brings in their ballot. So it's at 8 p.m. unless it could be sooner if that last polling location brought in the ballots
sooner to be counted, right. Not to start counting.
Right. Correct.
I've never understood why in the primary or the general election, I've never understood why they announce the winners before Hawaii even has a chance to vote.
Oh, yeah.
It just makes me crazy. These poor people, well, stay home. They already decided.
You know, Pima County's big. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of area there. So a lot of, normally they don't, 8 o'clock is the time when they start announcing their first announcement is because you've still got ballots, you just got stuff out in Ajo and in cells.
It's a long drive. Yeah. You have to put it, because I've done that. I was an election judge. Oh. You put everything together and it's a long time. You have to, math has to be right. Everything has to be exactly right.
Yeah.
And you have to have a representative from each party. You can't just, I'll handle it. Mm-hmm. It's checks and balance all the way through.
Well, and even in early voting, it's the same thing. We're looking for Republicans, Democrats, Independents, all parties to participate because you really do want that checks and balances. And in the recorder's office, we have lanyards that identify
what party
you are. Yeah, and at first I was like, well, I don't know. This is kind of strange that I'm labeled, right? But it's awesome. When you go down to the early voting, to the ballot processing center, it's so nice to see everybody working together.
Together.
Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody's working together for a common cause, and they want to do what's best for the voters, all voters of Pima County. And that's what's wonderful to see. It's refreshing, honestly, because you hear the news and...
Yeah, and the news can be throwing out, like I said, propaganda.
Right.
And even in emails, you get a lot of propaganda. I'm just like, well, why are you talking about this? It's not a fact. And it wouldn't bother me if they started spewing this stuff, if they had evidence to back it up. But there's no evidence. You're just making it up as you go along. Boggles my mind.
Yes.
Okay, we want to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Law Matters Live show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, Southern Arizona Rescue Association tells us what it takes to have the right stuff. Tune in to see if you qualify. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
With monsoon season well underway, the Tucson Fire Department would like you to keep these tips in mind on how to stay safe. Turn around, don't drown. Driving through a mere 8 inches of water can move your vehicle and cause you to be swept away. When thunder roars, head indoors. When you see that lightning flash and hear thunder, you need to drop what you're doing and head inside. When in doubt, wait it out. Save your errands for after storms have passed through your area. Remember, Tucson Fire is here for you. Stay safe.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Kim, and she's running for the recorder's office. Earlier, you talked about somebody who left Tucson to go someplace else in the summertime. Nobody does that, right?
Yeah. So, if you're lucky, you get to escape the heat, right?
Okay. They were wondering why their ballot wasn't forwarded, and you gave them a couple of options what to do. Tell us, what do you do if you're going to be gone during election season? You still want to vote?
Well, the best thing to do is to call the recorder's office when you know you're going to be gone, when you're going to be leaving, and just let them know, and they'll put in a temporary mailing address in the system. So then your ballots will be forwarded to wherever. We also, you know, we send ballots across the world. I think the only place we haven't is Antarctica. every other place we've sent.
So if you're in Russia and you want to vote, you can.
We have military overseas. It's called the uniform. It's UOKAVA is the acronym. And we send ballots all over. And there's an electronic process for people who might not be able to get the mail-in ballots if you're out of the country, if you live outside the U.S.
Okay, what do they have to do?
It's called the FAVA. They have to fill out a form, and federal voting, I'm not going to have it in my head right now, but you fill out the form. Go online, and once you have that form filled out, you just email it or mail it back, and we'll send the ballot to wherever you need the ballot sent to.
I know Chris told me a story about the donkey.
Oh,
you
yes.
Know, tell the story about the donkey. I thought that was so cool.
It's just awesome. It really tells you how
passionate
people can be for voting. Yeah. That it's a young, this was before I started, but a young couple was, whether it was Peace Corps or something on those lines, overseas in India, and they were in the mountains. They rode a donkey all the way down to be able to vote their ballot. Rode all the way down from the mountains, and they had to pay someone to wait for the mail. They get the mail, they vote their ballot on the back of the donkey.
That's their desk.
Yes. They get it voted, and again, they had to pay that person to stay there while they voted the ballot, put it back, and sent it off. And then they spent their satellite time calling the office just to make sure that we received it. Yeah.
That was so cool. I love that passion.
Yes.
That's a good citizen. Okay. People are getting ready. I want to talk about the stuff you have written down here. People are getting ready to spend the summer someplace else, and they have to call the voters' recorder's office to say, hey, I'm going to be in XYZ. What if they didn't do that?
If they didn't do that?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the important, super important part about that. If the mail gets returned to the recorder's office, because it's been forwarded, you get put into an inactive status. This does not cancel your voter registration. Does not cancel it. But it starts a process for the office to be able to contact that voter and say, what's going on?
Did you move?
Right. And it's important to keep the voter rolls clean also.
Yes.
So that starts the process. So you get into an inactive. That means that your early ballot will not be sent in November. So until you reactivate your status. Now, you're going to get mail. You're going to get letter after letter saying, hey, what's going on? What's going
on?
What's going
on?
You know, that's the biggest part of voter registration is the follow-up. We also follow up with individuals who haven't proven citizenship, because in Arizona, you have to prove citizenship to be able to vote in the state and local elections.
Is that the same way all over the place? all over America?
Or? No, that's specific to Arizona. It's Proposition 200 that in. It's a citizens initiative that put that into place. So
how does somebody prove they're a citizen?
Well, there's ID requirements. You can show your driver's license if it's after, I believe, 93. The state of Arizona required a citizenship verification. So at that point, from that point forward, as long as you have a valid driver's license, it will say if you're a foreign national or if you're a citizen. So we look that up. We also have other sources within the county at SAVE program. We can look up and see who's who. Yeah.
In your passport, if you bring your passport in, that should.
Yes. Yeah. Passports.
And what else?
One of the easiest ways. You can bring in your birth certificate along with a pictured ID.
Mine's etched on a rock. That would be very cumbersome.
So there's a lot of follow-up, lot of follow-up that we do just to make sure that that people can vote. That's the important thing, is that you're able to vote.
To get out there and have your voice heard.
Yes.
And I hope everybody, question, compared to years past, how has the interest in voting increased, or has it?
Oh, it absolutely has in the past. When I started in 2014, I take care of all of the press releases and all the media releases. And I remember thinking, oh, we're almost at 500,000 voters. We're almost at 500. I can say just about 500,000 voters in all the press releases. And now we're at just about 600,000 voters.
Wow.
And the population hasn't increased all that much. It's been like 1.1%. It's not
so,
So
people who have lived here, all of a sudden they want to vote because of whatever
political climate. And and they have an opinion. And it's wonderful that they're ready to voice that opinion.
Okay, I want to talk about your job when you started with the recorder's office, because you're very experienced in all the arenas that are involved. Tell us where you started.
Prior to that, I was in the corporate world, and I was just tired of the travel, tired of all that. So I took a step back, and I started as an administrative specialist in the recorder's office. So took a big pay cut to do that, but it was worth it. It was worth it to learn the system. I wanted to be part of the community. I wanted to be part of voting. My dad, he was the first person I ever voted for.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool? He ran for school board, and he's still very politically active in his hometown in Michigan. I've been here 30 years now, so I haven't voted for him since. but I am, I grew up with that activity, and it means a lot to be able to vote. And I have a brother who has Down syndrome, and my dad's always said, you have to be his voice also, because he can't vote. He's not able to vote. So anyway, I started with the recorder's office and fell in love with it. You get that, oh my goodness, you get that that voting bug, that election bug, and you just, I'm very passionate about what we do. And the first election I helped administrate was the Barbara McSally 2014, that CD2 race, and it came down to 167 votes. We had congressional lawyers there. It was just amazing. That energy was...
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So after you went from the administrative assistant, then where'd you go?
Oh, and then I was offered the job of assistant chief deputy. And so, that's where I am now, as assistant chief deputy.
But you've worked all aspects of this.
I have. And what I brought to the office was my, I'm very big into policies and procedures and, organizational development. And that's what I brought along with the human resources, which it was the administrative specialist strengths there that I brought with me. So I can say that when I say we need early voting site people and polling people, I can honestly say I've never said, oh, we're fully staffed, or we're you know, we can always use these temporary positions, always, always, always.
Yeah, and I would think that people would want to be a part of it. This is a system that we, our government or our lifestyle is based on, just like jury duty.
It's the foundation of our democracy. I say that all the time. It really is.
And I like the fact that you're not going into this because you have a political agenda. And that scares me when I hear somebody talking and they think that this is a political voice in the community. Well, it's not. You're supposed to be apolitical.
You're supposed to be nonpartisan. You need to be nonpartisan. Now, you know, the recorder's a Democrat. Fann Rodriguez is a Democrat, but she doesn't bring that into the office. That is separate. And it really needs to be separate. You can, and advocating for voter rights and voter participation, making sure that people are engaged in voting, is absolutely something that I am all for. You know, we've been playing defense for a long time with cybersecurity, with those kind of things. Now it's time to reach out to people and make sure that they understand why it's important to vote, why their voice
matters,
and that their voice does count. Because in the media, again, you're hearing that, you know, the voter fraud issues that do not affect the citizens of Pima County.
Yeah, and people need to be aware that you're really working on all aspects of voting, not just protecting it, but the security, the phishing, the whole enchilada.
Yes, yes.
And I know you belong to some of the organizations I belong to, so I know you're on top of it, and that's comforting. I'd rather you did it than me. So
I love it.
it's your job. So, and how long have you been there? You kind of worked your way from the bottom up.
Since 2014. So this is my sixth year.
So you,
the recorder's office.
Yeah. You come with a lot of experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think, you know, the recorder's office is small. The voter registration staff is under 20.
Oh, wow.
People. And then temps are hired to take care of the flux, added
that
work.
Time of the year.
So it's a small organization. It's a $6.5 million on election year, $6.5 million budget. Boy, that's been, you know, in the private sector, I dealt with budgets.
Yeah.
I always dealt with budgets. And $7.5 million budgets, that's not a problem. You know what your sales are going to be, or you anticipate what your sales are going to be and your growth, and then you just work your way down as to how many people you're going to need to achieve that goal. Boy, it's different in the public sector. You know, every year, every budget year, there's different things that come up. You know, you don't know if someone's going to have a special election, if South Tucson's going to have an election, or Oro Valley's going to have a recall, or. There's a million different things you have to pay attention to.
How does that affect your job? Let's say Oro Valley had a recall. How does that affect your job?
Well, they're in Pima County, and we handle their elections. So we have to have the staffing, and we have to anticipate that happening in the budget, because you can't go. You do your budget.
You can't pass the hat and just, you know.
No. And you're doing your budget in January and December and January. That's going to affect the next
election.
Well, the following March, April, and May, not the one coming up, but you know, so it's like an 18-month cycle. Yeah. So you're really having to forecast out what's going to happen and kind of anticipate what's going to happen in the political arena, which is never easy.
Explain to people the difference, because I know when we had voted for the mayor, it was a different election. You guys didn't handle that. Tucson handled that.
Well, we handle certain aspects of it, and we have contractual agreements, intergovernmental IGAs. Intergovernmental agreements, where we do the signature verification for the city of Tucson. So they're off your elections. We took care of the signature verification. There's a lot of security measures in place. There's a lot of a little bit of negotiation going on as far as as who's doing what mm-hmm. and how certain things are handled, like signatures that are that don't match. Who takes care of that? How do we take care of that? All of those things are part of the recorder's office.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I've got another question for you.
All right, great.
Law Matters Live show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, Southern Arizona Rescue Association tells us what it takes to have the right stuff. Tune in to see if you qualify. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
With monsoon season well underway, the Tucson Fire Department would like you to keep these tips in mind on how to stay safe. Turn around, don't drown. Driving through a mere 8 inches of water can move your vehicle and cause you to be swept away. When thunder roars, head indoors. When you see that lightning flash and hear thunder, you need to drop what you're doing and head inside. When in doubt, wait it out. Save your errands for after storms have passed through your area. Remember, Tucson Fire is here for you. Stay safe.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Kim, and she is running for the recorder's office. I know there's some groups in town, specialty groups in town, that like to endorse people that aren't necessarily qualified for the job, but they would be the first this or the first that. And it really frustrates me because I've listened, I've done my research, and you've got somebody running for office, you endorse that person, but they don't have an ounce of experience in what they're running for. So how does these, I know you've had people call you from both sides of the aisle who want to endorse you, and I think that's amazing, and it speaks to your credibility.
I have the Chamber of Commerce, which is has endorsed me, and that makes me extremely happy that they understand the need for someone with experience in this office.
And integrity.
Yes, yes. And along with, huge. Of course, F. Ann Rodriguez has endorsed me, and former mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. So, and across...
I've had him on the show.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
So, and a lot of, and National Organization of Women, and there's just a lot of... I'm very proud of the endorsements that I do have. You know, I have to say, when I first got into this, I was at a meeting and I went up and asked for an endorsement, and the person that I was talking to said, "Well, I'll endorse you if," and that I think that was extremely eye-opening as far as politics. And I won't play those games. I won't be purchased by anyone.
It pulls into that arena, and that's what I've listened to some of your debates there on, I think, Facebook.
There's a bunch.
And I listened to it. That's when I realized one of the people that's running against you has a political agenda.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, red flag. Okay, let's talk about provisional ballots.
Okay. All right. Provisional ballots are something that I absolutely, they're necessary at this point in time. A provisional ballot happens when you're at the polling location. You're at a polling site. They have paper. They have the paper rosters, registers, and your name's not on there, or there's an issue with your.
Or it says you got a mail-in ballot.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So those are the things that can cause a provisional ballot to happen. The biggest thing you can do is check your registration before you go. Check your polling. Go to, again, recorder.pima.gov, or the Secretary of State has that information also, if you don't want to go to the recorder site. And check your registration. Make sure. And make sure you have the proper ID when you go to the polling locations. You can see that at the Department of Elections website. Has all that information on there. If you've moved, if you've changed your name, that it doesn't match your driver's license.
That could be a problem.
That can be a, well, and we joke because there's a lot of weddings that happen down at the courthouse. And we always joke that we need to go out there and tell them, hand them a registration form.
Here's part of here's your gift.
Yes.
Congrats.
Well, and one thing that can, that I'm pushing for as the next recorder, it will be e-poll books, will be an electronic version. So then the Department of Elections has the information electronically at their fingertips, and then they can better serve the voters at the location. Now, 80% of the voters vote by mail, and I anticipate it'll be higher with COVID, more people voting early and voting by mail. But we have a great vote by mail turnout as it is.
Yeah, and it's been that way. So all this, you know, oh, they can voter fraud by mail. That's a pile of poop.
Yeah, well, I absolutely agree with that. There's measures in place. There's procedures in place. There's accountabilities in place for that not to be an issue.
So don't listen to Chicken Little running in circles, screaming and shouting. It just isn't so. So if you have to do a provisional ballot, you know, oh, I'm not sure if I mailed in my ballot or not, can I do a provisional? Anybody can do it.
Correct. So that process, you have to fill out additional forms.
Right.
And then they come back along with your ballot. They come back to the recorder. The recorder verifies your information. So that's what we do. So that ballot, if you've requested an early ballot or a vote-by-mail ballot and you don't drop it off at the polling location, that ballot goes from being about $3-ish to process to about $25 to process. So that costs the taxpayers a lot more money, provisionals do. So that's
trying to keep your act together and be prepared before you go.
That would be wonderful.
Wouldn't it?
But the important part is the vote. So if you don't have it, if your dog ate or your ballot, or if you spilt coffee
all over your ballot,
if that happens, you can vote a provisional ballot, and we will check and make sure that you didn't vote, that you're not trying to vote twice. And it will probably count, you know, as long as you're not doing anything nefarious and trying to vote, actually vote twice.
So when do the provisionals get counted? And do they get counted right away, or is there a lag time because they have to go through an extra process of determining whether you're voting just once or a dozen times?
Well, I don't know if lag time, but by statute, we have to have it, I believe it's 7 days after the election, those provisionals
have to be. So you've got 7 days to get it done.
Right. Now, and then 10 for the November election, I believe, are the dates.
They give you a little extra time. That's really nice of them.
but so those are the last things. They're the last things to be counted. Actually, and what's funny is the first thing that's counted in the elections are the early ballots.
The mail-in ballots.
And people say, you've heard this over and over again. We have people who call all the time who say, well, they don't even count the early ballots unless the election's close. And it's like, oh, not when there's 80%.
Chicken Little.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, all the votes are counted.
Oh,
and they
absolutely.
Have to. So
there's an audit process actually after the election wraps up. And we get down to the pieces of paper that the ballots are printed on. Mm-hmm. They're counted everything's counted to make sure that there were no issues. There's spoil ballots. You're always going to have a spoil ballot or a voter comes up and accidentally marks the wrong ballot or needs to
change. We've had that happen at the polling place.
Yeah, so you're going to have those, but every one of those pieces of paper are counted.
Yeah, they don't throw those away. No. They put them aside because they have to be counted. And you were responsible for all those.
Accountability metrics, checks and balances. Yes.
So don't listen to all the baloney you hear. And if you have questions, call the recorder's office.
Call the recorder's office, 724-4330.
And I won't say S for Chris.
He's going to beat you.
He hasn't been here. So, hey, you're not here to defend yourself. That's what I can do. So what else do we need to know about this position? And do you have any plans for the future as far as the recorder's office? Are there any things that you think could be tweaked and made a little bit better?
Well, the e-poll books are a big part of what I want to move forward.
Now tell me what that is.
It's electronic poll books. So when a voter comes in, you have a picture of the database, not necessarily the voter registration database. You know, we want to protect people's voter records.
Okay.
But you have that, and then the individuals at the polling locations will have access to see, did that person vote
That would
by
speed
mail?
Things up.
It would absolutely, and take down the provisionals. But you have to do it properly. You have to do it systematically. You have to know the process.
So in other words, you'd have to have a login that identifies you as the person who's checking to see if this person voted.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, but you also need to know the whole process.
So there's going to be some training involved.
Absolutely. And as you always, paper ballots will always be part of the system because that's really the way you can
count.
You can count. Yeah. Yeah. So that wouldn't
hanging
be going
chads.
Away. Ugh. Thank goodness those aren't around anymore, right?
No kidding.
But that's the thing is, you know, the electronic poll books, just a way, it's just more visibility for the poll workers to be able to...
Give them more tools.
Give them more tools, exactly.
To make it exact.
And make it easier for the voters.
Okay, what else?
I absolutely increase voter engagement. I've already talked about that and outreach. And really, what I want to do is targeted campaigns because there's a lot of areas of the county that are probably at 90% or, you know, of the VEP, voter eligible population.
Okay.
They're registered to vote. But we can target, we can look at different areas and make it easier for the people who might not understand the importance of voting, reach out to those areas. And there's a lot of groups. There's the League of Women Voters and Mi Familia, and there's just a lot of groups out there that are willing to help and have the bodies, and they can be the foot soldiers or the people on the ground talking
boots
to the
on
voters.
The ground. Yeah. And I think that training process is really important. You know, people understand that you're voting, why you're voting, even if the person you voted for didn't get in. That's happened to me recently. You know, your voice still counts.
Well, and knowing things like if you don't want to vote for someone, if you don't understand or you don't feel like you know enough about the issue, you don't have to. You can leave that blank. Not
yes.
that you want to, but don't not vote because...
But don't just go eeny, meeny, miny, mo either.
Well, I'd prefer that not to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd prefer people to be educated. And that's part of our job, too, is to make sure the voters are educated.
Understand
where to get the resources to make that.
Educated.
Educated, yes. Yes. Yeah. It's critical thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, keeping elections safe and secure. That's a big thing, and we have to do that. Redistricting is coming up.
Okay, tell us about that quickly.
That's the census.
Okay,
every 10 years, redistricting is coming up. We actually were on a show.
We talked about it. You know, make sure you do your census. You don't want some yahoo knocking on your door at 9 o'clock at night saying who lives here.
So the bottom line with all that is that we have to have voter records have to be updated.
Constantly.
Yes.
Very cool. Kim, I want to thank you for coming in and explaining this process to us, because I know I've had questions and I'm going, I don't know, I don't work there. But Kim does. She has the answers. So vote for Kim. Until next week, shop local, stay safe, stay tuned.